Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
So with the government now seemingly committed to lifting the eviction ban at the end of the month, what new measures on supply and to prevent landlords from selling up could make a meaningful difference to the market in the coming months? Or has that chance to mitigate the harm already been missed? Well, I'm joined now by Michael O'Flynn, who's Chairman and CEO of the O'Flynn Group, and also Mike Allen, Director of Advocacy at Focus Ireland. And thank you both for joining me on the line this morning. So the Business Post first reported on Sunday the government is considering a range of measures to stop landlords selling up. And these include a deduction possibly of local property tax against the taxed income on rental properties, perhaps an exemption from PRSI or USC, a lower income tax rate, or an exemption from tax on the first 14 grand of rental income. So Michael O'Flynn, would you like to see all of that or some of that or more than that?
I actually would like to see all of that and probably more of that. We are dealing with a situation here. We're coming from behind. I know this was anticipated and I know it's being treated as a shock by in a lot of cases because of the human impact it's having. But the reality of the situation is it was something that was always going to be problematic whenever it came to an end. And we don't have a lot of planning done to ensure that this won't have an impact above and beyond that it should have. Mm-hmm. I think we should have a suite of options, at least what I read in the Business Post, and at least what's being considered in government, and more. And let's react to this in a way that people will maybe stop and think rather than go ahead. Give people an opportunity to think again, because, Claire, we have a situation here for the next couple of years, despite all the efforts that are going on, supply isn't going to ramp up overnight. Why not give a tax break for the next 2 to 3 years for people to stay on in a much reduced tax impact on their income, or indeed give them other breaks like when they, if they sell, who they sell to, etc.?
A tax break for 2 to 3 years, Mike, you're listening to that. I know Focus Ireland has been advocating for some supports to keep landlords in the market. Do you agree with Michael, or do you think now it's perhaps even too late?
Well, it was 7 years ago in 2016 that Focus Ireland first published research which showed that landlords leaving the market was the primary driver for pushing up family homelessness. 7 years ago, we proposed a whole range of different measures which have kept landlords in the market and kept tenants in place. So it was sort of feeling of the first response to the government now seriously considering these things is just how long they have taken to do it and how much easier it would have been to do when the problems were first, with evidence, pointed out to them what the problem was. But as they say in these situations, we are where we are. And so if the government are now considering those things, they really need to get it right if they're coming at this late.
Simply giving
tax relief to landlords isn't going to solve anything. It has to be a reciprocal arrangement in which the tax relief is given in exchange for realistic security for the tenants. And that is the deal that we, with the Chartered Accountants of Ireland, really outlined in a very detailed tax paper and sent to government 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Michael, can that happen in tandem, that there would be some level of security of tenure given to tenants in exchange for these tax breaks?
I hear Mike. I absolutely agree with him. Of course, there has to be quid pro quo here. But you need to do something that's going to impact. You need to do something that's fairly drastic for people. Some people will sell for family or other reasons. Others are selling, they've had enough, Claire. Like, the demonisation of landlords, it has been extraordinary. I think it's amazing. And maybe landlord's a bad word, but we need people who rent properties. We need them in the metropolitans. We actually need them in the country areas as well. And if people are going to extend or get tax breaks, they have to make a commitment. But look at, when is supply likely to change? People are talking about this year, I think somebody came out today, about 25,000 units. For goodness sake, we need 40,000 to 50,000 units. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen overnight. So if we can
Taoiseach said he believes there's a shortage of 250,000 units.
Well, He did, and full marks for him for acknowledging that. Because the first thing in solving a problem is accept you have one. And I think that, I think our T-shirt has come out now in a very strong way to say that. But if you go back to the point, we have to get the people who are fed up with being landlords because they're being taxed to the hilt. You have to get them to stop and think. How do you get them to stop and think? Do something. Because let's be blunt, trying to deal with more homeless people is just awful on our society. It's just shameful that this situation keeps getting worse and worse. Mm-hmm. But if we give and we get landlords to extend for a period of time, and I'm talking about even more dramatic cuts, because between tax and the USC charge and PRSI, people are paying over 50%.
Mike, just to come back to what you were saying about banging this drum on giving something back to landlords, make it more attractive for them to stay in return for security of tenure. You've been talking about it since 2016. You say that nothing has been done, and now we're hearing that perhaps something might happen in the short term on this. But the fact is, it's been hugely politically unpopular for any government, for any politician, to say that a landlord, somebody who rents a property, should get something back for the government.
I'm not sure that that's true, and I think the government is making a huge thing about doing it, you know, patting itself on the back for doing the unpopular thing by making thousands of families and households very vulnerable. And I don't think saying something that was unpopular before is much of a reason. I think I'm a bit baffled by that. I think the debate, though, is very problematic. Like, the problem in the Irish housing system is not in the private rented sector. That's where the crisis is playing itself out. And in the first real victims of that were the tenants. But the second victims of that are some ordinary landlords who end up getting blamed for homelessness, when in actual fact, the cause of homelessness is the failure of as a society, of developers, of government, to build enough houses for the number of people who are in the country. And this sort of, so anything that we do in the private rented sector to stop landlords leaving for a short while is only an intermediary measure to stop, as it were, the patient bleeding to death while we're trying to deal with the fundamental issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michael mentioned
an enormous amount of time talking about this one issue of the eviction ban. And there's incredible, like, the real fundamental question is how much social housing and affordable housing is built, and how much of that goes to the people who are actually homeless. And I think that a lot more concentration would give us longer term solutions if we were to concentrate a bit more of our energy on those central questions.
Michael mentioned 2 to 3 years of fairly dramatic tax breaks to keep landlords in the market. What needs to happen within that 2 to 3 year framework, time frame, and can it happen? Can supply go up to the extent that the problem is in part at least solved?
No, I think the best we can do in these circumstances is to reduce the rate at which landlords are leaving at the moment. The long-term future of the private rental sector is extremely important. But as is quite clear from the government's, the main government strategies to deal with this crisis are to turn private rented accommodation into social housing. That shows us where the problem is. Just like sometimes when we're talking about these questions, you end up with a feeling that it's all too big, and I think most people listening to these debates are sort of closing off because they think it's too enormous for us to deal with. But we talk about, as Focus Ireland, we talk about the 11,000 individuals who are experiencing homelessness, and that's real human suffering. And it sounds like a big figure. That's only about 8,000 households. It's about 4,000 of those, 3,500 of those are long-term homeless. We built 30,000 homes last year. Why is it that the 3,000 families that have been homeless for more than 6 months and long-term homeless couldn't get any of those 30,000 homes that were built? We need to look at some of the really social justice solutions and fairness solutions which are right in front of us, rather than concentrating sometimes on all the almost insolvable problems that make us feel that this is not an issue that we're ever going to get on top of.
So we're building houses for people who can afford to pay the market rate for them, Mike. Is that what you're saying?
We're distributing both private and social houses in ways in which are leaving some people right at the back of the queue, and leaving them back at the queue for year upon year upon year. When we were in the COVID crisis, we realised that we needed to put the most vulnerable at the front of the queue. And that was fair. Everybody agreed it was fair. They didn't say that's queue jumping, or that's unfair that this person is getting the jab before me, I've been waiting longer. They recognise the most vulnerable need to be at the front. We're not doing that in housing, and we're leaving really vulnerable families and people long-term homeless while we're allowing the market
Who's doing that? Is it developers like Michael, or is it policy at political level?
Michael's job is to build the houses, and we want him to do much more of that, and I'm sure he wants to do much more of that. What I'm talking about is the way that once the housing is built, whether it's social housing or private housing, how we decide the priority who goes into that housing. It's mostly about social housing. And so the way that social housing lists work is simply on the basis of the length of time you're on the list, and they don't take sufficient account into the level of vulnerability of the household that's waiting in that list. And you have this build-up of households, individuals and families with children who are very, very long-term homeless, and the damage that's done. So that's a solvable part of the problem, and we should concentrate on those elements which are causing the most harm and which are also the most solvable.
But it's not Michael's job, is it, to sort that out, to decide who gets the home?
Not at all. I don't think we need to blame developers for everything. I think no more than landlords, they tend to get a whole range of things that they're criticised, which in fact aren't their responsibility. I'm making more general points about how government should be responding to this, and where their priorities in responding it to be, and where their concentration needs to be. At the moment, we're lurching from one huge political and crisis to another, and every solution that's put in place for the last bit of a crisis seems to cause the next one, and that doesn't give either the minister or the officials who are working extremely hard, it doesn't give them enough time to step back and actually say, well, where are we going to be, where should we be putting our energies, and where would be the greatest impact, positive impact that we could have.
And Michael O'Flynn, you've been talking about this, about, you know, lurching from one crisis to another in terms of politicians who are trying to sort this out. Do you sense that there's a new sense of urgency around this now?
I have to say, I think there is a new sense of urgency. It's long overdue, Claire. I've been talking about this for an awful long time. But politics is playing too much of a part in housing. People almost see it as an opportunity to actually develop their own political ideals or whatever. This is too serious to be political. Mike referenced COVID there. Why don't we have a COVID approach to housing? As in, it's an emergency. We need to deal with it. But we need to bring the right people into the room and to solve the problem. We've always been trying to keep us out of the room. And interesting, Mike said, we can't blame developers for everything. It's almost suggesting, I'm not saying he says that, because we get a fair amount of blame. We deserve some of it at one stage, but I think it's gone on far too long. But Claire, to go back to the political situation, we need collaboration. We need people to join together. We don't need political point scoring. We need to solve the problem. Mm-hmm. I'm saying in the short to medium term, we need to be more dramatic even than what's been considered in government to stop those who may change their mind if it becomes more acceptable, more commercial. You have people here with rising interest rates. And they have a cash flow problem. They have a banking issue. We need to do something to help people. They have a genuine financial reason to get out, even though they might have a family reason for selling the home or selling their rental property. They have financial pressure to do so.
I just want to come back to one thing you said there, Michael, about bringing developers into the room. What would that mean? What difference would that make? What would it look like?
Well, it would mean, Claire, that we can be part of immediate solutions to increase the supply of housing in conjunction with the private sector. There is a certain amount of it happening at the moment. It just needs to happen more. There needs to be between the Land Development Agency, which has had a slow beginning, but understandably so, is a very important structure. The housing bodies are an important structure. The local authorities are an important structure. But we all need to join up and find a way of helping developers to fund development.
Okay, so that's interesting, because we see that there's a lot of land with planning permission granted on that land, but nothing is ever built on it because developers will say, well, it's too expensive to do that. Now, if developers are brought into the room, are you saying that the funding would come from government to make that viable for a private developer?
Well, first of all, a lot of the unbuilt planning permissions, with due respect, Claire, should never have got planning because they were never viable in the first instance. A lot of people got planning in the hope that when they got the planning, a proposed development might be more viable. But some of those developments actually didn't get the viability test done before they actually lodged planning. Mm-hmm. And in this country, you don't have to
prove... What
does
viability mean? Does this not get to the nub of the whole thing? Viability means, can someone make money off this?
Well, in a nutshell, viability means making a profit. If we can make a sufficient profit, which is generally accepted, the industry norm is around 15%, we cannot fund something.
Yeah, and that's fine. And that's fine. You're entitled to make a profit. But on the other side, and Mike, you might help us out here, people need homes. And going back to the most vulnerable, they are relying on developers being able to make 15% profit on building homes.
Yeah, I think there's an awful lot in what Michael says. I mean, if you look at some of the major crises that seemed impossible for us to solve in the past, and I was very much involved in the unemployment crisis of the 80s and 90s, they ultimately were solved by the groups of people who had an interest in them coming together to make a long-term plan. But that involves a couple of things. It involves building trust, and that trust is based on that the people go into the room, the developers in the room or whoever, and the builders in the room or whoever, put aside to some extent their immediate personal sectoral interest. Of course they're going to make a profit, but if the only reason that you're in the room is to continue your business as usual and get further, you don't get to solutions. And the other part you need is a trade-off. So I don't just want to help Michael build more houses. I want him to build affordable houses which can and social houses. So the trade-off is that we need public support, public funding to deliver housing, but it has to be the right sort of housing. And what's happened in the past, and which is why developers have got such a bad name, is that they have been in the room and they've negotiated things which are solely in their interest and haven't been in the public interest. And I know Michael has recognised that and recognised that. So that's why there's a legacy of distrust about that sort of collective approach. And we need to get over that legacy of distrust. And we need to have
Okay, Michael, go ahead.
No, I need to come in there because I'm not actually. I've acknowledged that we did bid for many houses in the past, yeah. and we have learned from some of those mistakes. I go back to all sorts of issues came about as to why did we build too many houses and who was involved in the decision-making that led to that. It wasn't just developers. There was government policy, there were funding, there were planning, there was all sorts of issues involved. But I am advocating for a long time now, let's have an open book approach. Let's sit down in the room and open up and people understand on both sides of the table what is a reasonable profit to make this happen. But we have to have a realistic approach by government. We have to get away from, and in fairness, Mike has acknowledged this, from attacking developers and attacking, like, people need to come together.
Okay.
I'm saying,
all right,
solve the short-term issue, but let's sit.
Listen,
there are help to buy and there are shared ownership, but there's a lot more that we can do together.
Okay, just before we finish, and just briefly from both of you, to come back to that short-term issue and these measures now that we know are being considered by government to give tenants and landlords help in terms of tax breaks. Now, there's some talk that this might happen sooner rather than later. Others are saying, well, it can't happen and won't happen until the budget in the autumn. Mike, if it doesn't happen until the autumn, where will we be? Do you think it needs to happen now?
I think it needs to happen now. It needed to happen in the past. I think it will only be a measure which will slow things down. Where our concentration as an organisation is the 5,000 households who have got notice of termination because their landlord is selling out and are going to be made homeless over the next short period of time. The government is saying we're going to try and buy 1,500 of those units. And that's in our view, at this stage, have completely underestimated the scale of how hard that will be. And even if it's achieved, it's only about a third of the number of people who are going to lose their
home.
And homeless accommodation simply isn't available for them.
Okay, those measures, Michael, that we were talking about earlier, should they happen now or can it wait until the autumn?
They can't wait until the autumn. They can be sorted or whatever legislation, maybe the budget and all that. But we have to bring in measures now that are going to make people stop and think. We have to be more drastic than what I'd say, a first thought. This, the impact this could have is absolutely enormous. We have to take stronger steps now. I hope when the government are using this time, it's a pity it didn't happen in advance, but we are where we are. But for goodness sake, let's do it, and let's do it in such a way that we're going to stop those who don't have to leave the market because it'll pay them to stay on. And it's as blunt as that. Oh, we have to incentivise, we have to encourage, otherwise this problem will continue and it'll put an awful lot of people in a very bad place when it comes to homelessness, and that's not acceptable in this society.
Michael O'Flynn from the O'Flynn Group and Mike Allen, Director of Advocacy at Focus Ireland. Thank you both for joining us.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.